Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Today's March 23rd. The opening day roster is almost set. There are some surprises that caught us off guard. And we're going to dive into some stats again tonight. You're listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Yinz guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh. Jake is missing again tonight, but there is so much to talk about. And hold on. I always want to wear a hat, but there's just something about that gap in my headphones. It's like I can hear myself through my headphones. And I can almost also hear myself through the gap, and it drives me nuts. I just want to wear a hat, but not tonight. There's a lot of things to talk about, guys. Thomas Harrington, a bunch of roster moves. We're gonna go over some stats tonight, which is usually one of those things that can take up some time, but we talked a lot about a lot of things last week, or on Thursday. We talked about our predictions and the record and everything. Go back and listen to Thursday's show. Play it on like 2.5 speed until you get caught up and all that stuff. So you know what I mean. There's a lot to get into tonight, though. But there was one thing kind of left out that I got a lot of questions on, and it was something that we should have covered, but I kind of had it planned to kind of cover here tonight, and I don't know, maybe a little in the future, but it is definitely something we want to look into for this upcoming season. It has a lot to do with the hitting coach, and basically just look and see if there's anything actually happening there. So cool. You know, we can do Windows sounds as well. We'll go ahead and silence those, thinking about it. But there's a lot of moves that were made, starting with Cook, York, and Henry Davis optioned. And then Hunter Stratton's contract was selected, and Joshua Palacios was DFA'd to make room for him. Kind of a surprise right there. I guess I just didn't see that coming. But they had to make a decision on Hunter Stratton, and so that decision was made. I believe he still has two or three options left, which I was surprised to see. FanGraphs has him at 3. I'm not sure it's that high. I'm sure Ethan will let me know when he listens to this. But as of right now, he's not on the spreadsheet, so I can't trust that. But Hunter Stratton selected, Palacios DFA'd. I guess it's worth saying that the Palacios DFA doesn't surprise me that much. It's just that's the move that surprised me. There's going to be more moves made, and we're going to break down basically the roster. Another Boylan's vanilla cream tonight. So chat, keep it coming. You know, we always like to hear from you guys, especially when Jake is stuck at work and not able to make it. We definitely love to hear from you guys. So there's a lot of wish list items at this point of spring training. We watch spring training early, and we try to convince ourselves that none of these games matter. We trick ourselves into believing that they do. We complain when they do certain things, and then have to remind ourselves that spring training doesn't matter. It is, for a lot of players, an opportunity to physically get to where you need to be. There are some that are competing for a spot. And I'm indifferent on whether some of the spring training numbers or some of the performances at spring training really weigh, have a lot of weight to them. And I guess let me explain a little bit. The veterans that are there, it's about physically getting ready. McCutchen, even I see in the chat, we're talking Pham right now. Even Pham, I mean, he was brought in here to be on this roster. And unfortunately, when we were upset when he was signed, I think that was fueled by the fact that we knew he was going to be on this roster. Same for Adam Frazier, a guy that we all like, but we all question this part of his career and this team and whether that's a good fit. And that's the same thing. When he was signed to that deal, I even said it on this show. I talked myself into believing that because it was a cheap contract, there's a chance that he could be booted off of there. But we're not going to see that. He's going to be on the roster. He's going to make the team. As a matter of fact, once we get into a little bit of the roster construction right now, I don't see a way that you can even get him off the roster outside of, well, we'll talk about that. But ultimately, there are things that the coaches and that the evaluators are looking at. Your at-bats, the contact off the bat. Sometimes it doesn't matter if you're safe or out. It just matters if you had a good at-bat, you swung at a good pitch. There are times that it's like, you know what? It's pitch selection. Yes, you got three hits today, but you swung at bad pitches. They're looking at that sort of stuff. I don't know how much of it carries weight one way or another when you're competing for a spot, but you know, we came into this spring looking at Billy Cook and Nick York as guys that could break camp with this team and be impact players even. And neither one of them really played all that well. Now, Baseball Reference obviously doesn't update until the morning. And when you look at what these guys have done, I mean, Billy Cook, as I try to find it here, Billy Cook's under 200. Nick York at the same is barely over. Where's he at? 206. And so, like, when you look at those numbers and you say, man, I can't imagine that those guys. Now, Billy Cook, I'm more on the fence with because he's a little bit older. But I also see how Jack Sawinski's playing, how Ji-Won Bae's playing, and the fact that they brought in Pham. Could Billy Cook have actually made... Billy Cook could be that last spot for first base had he hit. Nick York, in general, it's like, I don't know his path to this roster. You want him playing every day. He's young. He's 23 years old. You want him playing every day. I don't care if it's at the major league level or in AAA. You can't expect a 23-year-old to get better if he's playing part-time. He's got to get more at-bats. He's got to be playing every day. And I still say, I've said it before, if Nick York plays fine and something happens with Nick Gonzalez, he will leapfrog Frazier. Frazier's there to be a backup. And I would expect if Nick York is playing well, he'll jump right into that role if you're going to see an IL stint or something from Nick Gonzalez. I wonder sometimes how some of these numbers look and what they do. Jared Triola was a Gold Glove winner last year. I understand we all look at maybe the 231, which went up today. I did pull up today's box score. That can at least give me a batting average update on Triolo. 256. It's not too bad. He hit a couple doubles today. He's still playing good defense. Jared Triolo was always going to be on this roster. When you win a Gold Glove like that, you kind of earn it a little bit. You know what I mean? Obviously he's got to continue hitting and he's got to play well, but to get a guy like Key Brian Hayes to have days off and to be able to put in a guy like Jared Triolo immediately and not miss a beat defensively, sure, maybe not quite Key Brian Hayes level, but certainly above average. I mean, a Gold Glover, right? But you watch the spring and you see some of the guys that are having success do get opportunities. Others, like Matt Gorski, we watched him have success early on, and it kind of tapered down, and he wasn't facing tougher pitching. I think it was pretty clear. But a guy like DJ Stewart kept getting opportunities. He's been in the major leagues. He's got a little bit of a track record to follow. He's getting more opportunities, and he's still there. The active roster right now sits at 29, and you've got, that's my count, actually 28 now. It's down to 28. because Kyle Nicholas today was, there was news that he was being sent down, but now it's actually, he was actually sent down before we jumped on here. So 28 guys, but there are 16 pitchers. So there's a little bit of, you know, we'll get through it. We'll get through it. But right now you've got DJ Stewart, Thomas Harrington, Tanner Rainey, and Ryan Borucki, who are kind of waiting for decisions. Are those guys going to be added? They've got to be added to the 40-man roster and to the active roster. So if any combination of those guys, that adds to that 28, and there's going to be other moves that are need to be made. Let me check the chat here. What are we talking? Miles asked, did I hear that Endy is starting at first tomorrow? And was that the hidden plan in spite of front office comments? From everything I'm hearing, Miles, Endy Rodriguez was a catcher. He was supposed to be a catcher. He was going to only catch this spring. And the way that the news kind of broke here this week was that he's done so well that he's made the roster and that they were not going to muddy the water until they knew he was making the roster. Once they said he's on it, now they'll start giving him first base reps. And it is. It's being reported right now he is the backup catcher and the backup first baseman, which is a lot better considering Frazier might have been a backup. And I guess like he can still do it, so you have options even further than that. The question still remains if Triolo's the guy who made a nice play today and also missed one, right? But I mean, you're gonna, whatever. I'm not worried about one play in spring training, especially on the first game that you start there in the spring. You know, there's going to be a little bit. So I'm not, the guy's a gold glover. I'm literally not worried about that. I'm more worried about the bat. And so is Triolo going to be the guy that's maybe first base number one, or will they go with DJ Stewart? Cheryl asked, how do you think JT's looking at first? We saw, you know, we've only seen a little bit, but we know that he can handle the glove. And that's kind of where I'm at. It Miles does say it looks like it's a position that he isn't good at. The more he's there, I mean, ground balls are ground balls. Once he gets the angle down just a little bit, he did at second base last year. It's the opposite side of second base. I kind of always think the infield is split in two that way. Middle infield's middle infield, but if you're on a corner, the other corner's different, but it doesn't take long for a gold glove caliber defender to get used to it. So I think that's it. Miles actually comments saying DJ Stewart showed really good progress. He definitely did defensively. I will say, like, I will agree with that. I gotta be honest right now. This is a 2-week replacement, or 2 to 4 weeks, let's say. Just to, you know, assume that there could be a setback or Horwitz could be a little bit behind. Because he could be. It's a essentially, at the very most, a month replacement at first base. It's going to be the guy that hits. That's who's going to play there. It's going to be the guy that hits. This offense, as Bucko Mike had put out here, the Pirates had 4 hits today and no hit the other day, which, by the way, that doesn't mean anything. It's spring training. I can't say it enough, especially at the end of spring. I said this before. Beginning of spring, you're just excited to watch baseball and it doesn't matter. Middle of spring, you want it to pick up a little bit. By the end of spring, you convince yourself that in hindsight, those games mean absolutely nothing except for physically getting ready. So, you know what I mean? Like, you can keep doing that. But DJ Stewart has really tapered down. He's not playing his way onto this roster anymore. I think by my count, he did get an at-bat today. He's down to 250. That OPS that was up there a good bit is down under 800, which is still like a decent number, but it's the fact that it's climbed down so far that kind of gives you that pause. The fact that he has to have roster moves in order to break this team. That if they like Tanner Rainey or Ryan Borucki or Thomas Harrington, those are direct 40-man moves that need to be made. We've got 40 on the 40-man roster. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, Thomas Harrington and Jared Jones have a lot to do with each other, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Ryan Borucki and maybe like a Peter Strzelecki or Tanner Rainey and a Strzelecki. They have a lot to do with each other, with Strzelecki not having any options. They could make that sort of a move because he has to be DFA'd anyway. So you could see that. That's the same with Harrington, unless Jared Jones is a 60-day. We hope not. I mean, I'm looking like Sungshae Chang ain't going anywhere because he's got two options. The guys that we've already talked about, Leover Peguero, they've used his option. It's his last option. Is that something? And Manuel Valdez is a new player who just used his last option this year too, as he's been optioned and he only had one. So like there's possibility there. And then outside of that, Palacios is already gone and you're looking at the guys that they've got to get off this roster. I don't know. I mean, that's where we're at. Bucko Mike says, I don't see Rainey making it. There's just decisions right now. And Kyle Nicholas, maybe we get into Kyle Nicholas first here, just because that's the easy one here. He was optioned. He was told he wasn't going to make it. Then he was optioned today. This is a guy who's thrown more innings than any other right-handed reliever this spring. That's why this is caught off guard. But the thing is, and we commented on this before, he's not faced a ton of high-level pitching. I'm looking at the number right now. His opposition quality, if you remember us going over that a few episodes ago, only 6.6, which is like an average quality between high A and double A, closer to double A, but like that's the guys he's facing. And here's the thing. They believe in his stuff. It's not a problem of that. But, you know, we talked about 16 pitchers on this roster right now, on the active roster. Three of them are not going to make it to Miami. And then if Harrington makes the team, or Rainey or Borucki, like you're adding two every time you do that. So three non-Jared Jones pitchers are getting bumped from who's there right now. Nicholas has two minor league options. And yeah, he struck out 8 this spring in 8 innings. He's also walked 8. They could use maybe 9 innings. I forget, but they could use that option. Keep more players. Get him his control, because this guy's probably still going to pitch 40 innings this year. I tried to look it up, and I don't have the number in front of me. But I believe I looked this up earlier. I believe the Pirates used. If you think this is an exaggeration, put it in the chat and I'll double check. Otherwise, just you can believe me. They used 35 relief pitchers last year. 35 different pitchers pitched out of relief last year. There's no way that the 8 they take to Miami with them next week or this week, later this week, are the only 8 that are going to pitch for this team. And that's something I think we often forget. Yes. There is something that has, like, there's something about that opening day call. But there's also something about the fact that we've got guys without options and guys with options, and decisions are going to be made at some point. Wentz, Strzelecki, and Santana do not have options. Fangraphs says that Lawrence does not have options. I think that's probably likely, considering he was on waivers. So you've got 4 guys of the 16, or I guess 15 now, because I think Nicholas was one of them. So of the 15 that have no options, and you move them, you lose them. I think we can all agree Strzelecki. I don't see anything in the chat about Strzelecki, but I think he's probably an odd man out for sure. Majinski could be going down. He's still got 2 options if they want to continue to stretch him out. If something happens with Jones and it's not a 60-day, I could see them saying, well, let's give some starts to Majinski if he only has to get us through maybe April, and then Jones will be back. But if Jones is out, if this is a Tommy John situation, then that takes care of the 40-man spot for Harrington, and you don't have to worry about that. It's 1-for-1. If you can send somebody like this down, you can avoid Wentz for now, who has struck out 12 in 8.2 innings this spring. I mean, he's been good too. Maybe he gets replaced by Borucki. I don't know. Like, there's a lot there. That is Borucki going to make a spot? Wentz has been good. Caleb Ferguson's coming around. I'm looking at the lefties right now. Tim Mayes' strikeout numbers have been good. He's looked good. A lot of lefties right now. So I don't know. It's hard to tell. Could Baraki make this team at that point? I don't know. Hunter Stratton also, like, he was added to the 40-man roster, but I think what I see is right, he still might have two or three options. So he also could be put down. Good point. Bucko Mike says Horwitz still not put on the IL yet, and he won't have to be until we get to opening day, and it'll be retroactive and all that stuff. However, I have a little spreadsheet that I'm running, and so I'm actually counting him on the IL. Sorry, I keep track of this stuff. I don't necessarily like have to share, but I do keep track of this, and I got a little yes for active roster, and I have that off for Horwitz already. So this is maybe by my count, some of this. It might not be exactly the same, but you can see how Nicholas being sent down to continue to work on control is maybe a reasonable thing to do, even though I think a lot of us like it. A lot of us like him, rather, and don't want to see him go down. I think there was something early on. Yeah. Cali Buccos fan says, no Kyle Nicholas. That's a choice. It is a choice. And I mean the way that you mean it. I was very caught off guard. So it's weird. Dave makes a point about the minor leaguers are gone now. And I don't know that a lot of that still, there are still guys, the minor leaguers are out of camp, but they're still playing. You're still facing them occasionally, but We'll get into some numbers like offensively and stuff like that. But I think the big thing is that we're about there. All right, let's see who else we were getting into. Henry Davis was kind of a surprise here, especially if you were considering Andy Rodriguez at first base. I would have thought that maybe that would come along with Henry Davis staying on the team. Okay, so let's do this count. Okay, on my spreadsheet here, I've got five infielders. Typically, you go with six infielders. If you've got the two catchers, right, you can have 13. You've got Kutch as a DH, which means you're limiting that basically down to what it used to be if you were running 12. You've got two catchers. You've got six infielders. You've got four outfielders. That's typically the way you're going to do it if you have somebody like McCutchen, who's an all-time DH. But let's even say McCutchen's not. He would slot into the outfielders. You'd go six and five. You have two backup infielders, all that stuff. The Pirates have five infielders right now. So you would think, I would think, that's exactly how I thought was, oh, they're planning on DJ Stewart. And if DJ Stewart's the guy, that gets you your sixth infielder. And his spot, as far as the active roster, is whoever wins the job between Jack Sawinski and Jiwon Bae. Miles, I think you are right. I think Baraki is a guy who has an opt-out. So I would imagine, keep refreshing your Twitter and let me know if something happens there. Because I think there is a shot he can opt out. I know that Hunter Stratton could, and that's why the decision was made when it was for Hunter Stratton. But I'm not sure about Baraki. But I think you're right. I think DJ Stewart might be another guy as well. I think we were saying there was three. We looked that up one other time, and I didn't write it down, so of course I've already forgotten. Aaron says, cut Stewart and roster Bae. I would much rather have Endy in the lineup. So this is directly to what I was saying, to say, don't worry about Stewart. We're not adding him to the roster. And then you don't have to get rid of one of Sawinski or Bae. You could keep them both. What that does is basically give you five outfielders, none of which in Reynolds, Pham, Cruz, Jack, or Bae, none of them play infield. None of them help out at first base. I know we've said, well, Bae's played infield. Not anymore. Like, they're not playing him in the infield anymore. That's just not a thing. To me, I've seen enough. I think Bae should be going down. I've seen him recently overmatched at the plate, not able to catch up to some of the heat. And sure, that could be one game. It could be whatever. It's Jack continues to play well. Jack's defense is significantly looking better. There's been like a couple plays where I've seen maybe some shades of what Jack used to be, but I've seen him do some things that are aggressive, which is kind of our rub on Jack, is that he's not aggressive enough. And we've seen that this spring. Jack's always been an average outfielder, right? Bucko Mike says, Uncle Jake plays better second base than Bay. Yeah, I mean, Bay's flashy. He's got the tools. I'm not taking that away. There's some... That ball that went down the line the other night that actually landed fair, but it was called foul. Jackson Holliday hit it down the line. And I watch that play again. You know what? I didn't. Watch that play again. The route he takes is out, over, around, down. It's not a straight line to a ball. His speed kind of makes up for that, but like that ball should have just been an out. And it didn't look like it because it looked like he was getting there and maybe the wind got a hold of it. And maybe that is. Maybe I'm being critical and the wind got a hold of it. But we've seen that from him in every time he's been in the outfield. The speed is incredible. His ability to make a crazy play. Miles knows which one I'm talking about. His ability to make a crazy play is actually very good. Like that's a tool that he has. The problem is, and I brought this up a couple years ago when he made that play in Boston the first week of the season, he created that play by a bad route. Defensively, it's just not one of his strong suits. Speed definitely is. So if he is on this roster at this point, and it won't be this way, but if I was rostering him right now, he'd be a pinch runner. Like I don't even know if he would be. Like he doesn't run the base as well either. It's literally just speed. He turns signals into doubles, and he does that very well. But there's just a lot there that is missing. And I'm not saying that Sawinski's a gold glover, but he surely can handle a little more than that. So for me, I think it'll be Jack. I think that Bay will go down. But in that scenario, DJ Stewart makes the team. Otherwise, if Stewart's not going to make the team, and I think we start with that because we've already made our moves. I'm looking at the raw. Everybody's already there. There's six outfielders right now, if you count Kutch, and there's five infielders. And like I said, we're not counting Kutch to be helping the outfield. I'm just looking at numbers. Okay. So Kutch as DH, 5-5. You've got your 11, 12, 13 for your two catchers. You're set. So if you're not bringing Stewart up, then we go back to our conversation all the way around, full circle. It's Jared Triolo is the starting first baseman going into the season. If you think this is a 2-week, if you think it's a 2-week spot, you could play Triolo and Andy Rodriguez there, and you'd probably be okay. You can get through that. You absolutely could get through that and keep Jack and Bay available. Maybe something figures itself out there. Maybe you don't like this. You don't ever want to say this, right? It's just a thing. But maybe one of them gets injured. And then you never have to call one up and send one down. But essentially, you give those two more weeks of regular season baseball to say who's going to stay on this team when Horwitz comes back. Because then you're bringing a left-handed bat back to the lineup and you're letting one of those two go. I could see them doing that. I could see them saying, all right, let's just keep what we have here and let it ride for two more weeks till Horwitz gets back. If it goes longer than that, you can make any decision you want. But if it's going okay and Andy or Triolo are doing fine, then you let it play out. Tell me if this sounds totally crazy. What I try to do is I give benefit of the doubt here. When the Pirates do something I disagree with, I take a look at what were they thinking. And if I can get there, then that's all I'm bringing to you guys, right? That's all I'm doing here is saying, if I can get there, then this is how I got there. You don't have to agree with me. You could probably even talk me out of it if you've got a good point. I'm just saying this is where I'm at right now. I'm going to check some of the comments here. We've got Callie saying, I'd rather see Andy play first base instead of Stewart. Fell apart the moment the pitcher stopped being predictable. It looks like it, right? I mean, there's even guys that you could still say, well, he's working on something. DJ Stewart's not one of those guys. Like, he's got a hit to make the team. And he's done pretty well. And maybe it's like, oh, he was hot, now he's cold. I mean, if you can get the hot, then sure. But I'm kind of with you there. Dave says, if Endy's playing first, you don't need Stewart. They could keep Bay and Jack. That's exactly what I was just saying. Wish I'd have seen that earlier. I could have jumped to it a little bit quicker instead of going the long route. Sorry about that. So, you know, Cheryl does ask, do you think Bay makes the team? That's my path. That's my path to him making the team. Miles, this is a long one here. Here it is. Isn't it fun watching pitchers catch up to the hitters the final week? Not worried about the last few games. Pirates regulars went up against some really good pitching this weekend. And again, some of these guys are essentially going through the motions. I think this is kind of like, you know, you have those trap games where you're like, oh, I'm really just looking forward to opening day. And you kind of overlook these last few games. I feel like guys, especially like Pham and McCutchen and Reynolds, maybe that's it on this team, but they're kind of going through the motions, don't you think? I think everybody else here has something to play for, has something to prove. Or trying. IKF. IKF's another one, which, by the way, did he play today? I thought he did. 1-for-2 today. He's batting .310. I think most of us concerned with IKF was probably defense, right? I mean, it's kind of reliable when it's hit to him, but there's not much else. The arm's not a ball in the a ground ball hit in the hole is just a base hit every time. I think that's pretty fair. I mean, the bat is fine right now. Anyway, we'll see how it continues to translate. But you see the guys who are trying to make the team. There's three doubles today: two by Triolo, one by Sawinski. The guys that are playing hard. Sawinski goes 375 right now. I don't know if he plays tomorrow, but if he doesn't, he finishes 375 with a 1.0 OPS. I mean, that's being on there. But then again, you have Bay with a 400 average, even though lately that's been coming down. Today he was 0-for-1 with a strikeout. Still a 1.0. Actually, numbers a little bit higher than Sawinski. Some of the other things from Sawinski you like. They both have the same amount of steals. So really, when you talk about the speed, Jack's not slow. I mean, he's above average. He's not a burner or anything, but he's not going to run with Bay or Cruz, but he can run. Sherrod says, hey, IKF made some decent plays today. Bucko Mike says, Lawrence and Strzelecki getting DFA'd. Strzelecki, I think, unfortunately for him, is probably one of those guys that's, pretty clear. As far as Lawrence, I don't know, man. There's some good stuff from him. He hasn't pitched hardly at all for us, right? Three games, three innings. I don't know how they were. I mean, it looks like two runs. Were those in the same game? I don't know. But he's got some stuff. I think everybody's been pretty excited about it. If he doesn't have anything, I don't know. He is the new guy. Could be him. It doesn't have to be. If it's somebody, like, if you're rostering Wentz, how many lefties does that give you? I mean, you've already got Ferguson. Let's go up to this. You've got Ferguson out of the pen. You've got Meza and then Joey Wentz. And then if you're adding, like, if you're trying to do it to add Barucki, because you've got Strzelecki that can go, you've got Majinski that could be optioned down. You've got Stratton that could be optioned down. So there's enough moves. Nicholas was already optioned. There's enough moves that you wouldn't have to let anyone else go. So there would be no need to move Justin Lawrence down, especially to bring up another lefty in Barucki. Unless you're saying Tanner Rainey instead of Justin Lawrence, I don't see a real need for that. Again, if Harrington makes this team, because then you're talking, possibly Jared Jones 60 day. So, and even if it's not surgery, you could still, if they want to shut him down to take it easy, you could still see 60 days. I mean, this is really just 2 months. They could shut him down for that and have him pitching, you know, late May on a rehab before coming back up. So I think you could be pretty safe to say, 60 day for Jared Jones, even if it's a good outlook, you could see that if they need to shut him down. Matt says Barucki must stay. So if Barucki does, I mean, that's, I think you're talking about maybe Joey Wentz, or else you're going with four lefties, Wentz, Borucki, Ferguson, and Meza. I could see that. And if it's Stratton going down in place of that and Carmen Majinski, and you're bringing Harrington into the picture and going through there, I mean, there's enough guys. You get eight relievers now. So there's enough guys that could happen. I've liked what I've seen from Borucki, and I think that what that does for me is makes me feel better about Santana, to be honest with you. Because, you know, Borucki was really good, and then the next year he wasn't. And then Santana coming off of, like, a really good year for just us, and I'm just hoping that it's still there, and everything looks like it is. This is interesting. Mike says, Keller, Skeens, and Heaney are each going to win 11-plus games, which will be the first time since 1999 that has happened for us. To have three starters win 11-plus, that's interesting. Thanks for that. JJK says, we have a lack of power. We need Jack on the roster. I agree with that. So, yeah, scanning through here, and then we can move on to what we get. Did we cover all of that? Did we cover all the guys there? I think so. I think we've covered them all. You guys have any questions on any of the other ones? I mean, Harrington, let's talk Harrington for just a second. I'm looking at the time here. We want to get into some stats, but let's talk Harrington for a second. He's starting the game tomorrow, or if you're listening to this on audio, tonight, or today, rather. I think it's a day game. But Thomas Harrington essentially gets a final look, maybe like a last showcase for this team, to see if he can make the opening day roster. Obviously, I'm pretty excited about this. If you've listened to this show long enough, you know I'm a big Harrington guy. And so I'm excited about this opportunity for him. And it really hangs in the Jared Jones decision. So it also depends on, you know, what you think about, or what you want to hear about Jones. And if you think that Harrington making the team is bad news, then obviously you don't want Harrington to make the team. And I understand that. But we still don't know, unless there's something that's come out since I hit record, or since I hit go live. We don't know what the situation with Jared Jones is. That we know that they sent it to Meister for a second opinion, right? They had their MRI. They saw what they saw, and they said, there's enough here or not enough here. We want to double check and do our due diligence and send it off to the professional or the specialist and see what we can get from them. And so that's what they've done. And it's, I don't know how long that stuff usually takes to come back, but I would think that we would have had an answer by now. So is that good news? Is that bad news? I'm not really sure. It's all speculation at this point. Maybe more images, right? MRIs are still photos. Maybe I want more to see. There's a little spot here. Maybe there's something more. A lot of things have to be seen in order to make a right decision, and you want to make the right decision for a guy like Jared Jones. He's still young enough. The last thing you want to do is to say, oh yeah, I think it's fine, let's let him pitch, and then blows it out and makes it even worse. If you can get out with something that's maybe less severe, or maybe there's something that's not Tommy John that requires surgery. You know what I mean? Maybe there's something like that, and they're just looking extra hard at that. I don't know. But either way, we're going to find out. But I think it's safe to say right now that he's not starting the season with this team, regardless. Like, best case scenario, he's probably not on this team in Miami. You guys think that? Is there anybody that disagrees with that? That he could be in Miami if everything comes back clean? I mean, he said it hurt. I feel like that's enough. Now, obviously, this is all just what we hear. He said it hurt. Maybe he said something and they said, that's not good, let's talk about it. And he's like, I'm fine. Which would be a gamer, right? I feel like that'd be pretty common of him to say something like that. But they're going to be careful, and they should be careful. Not to be negative, but when you look at this offense, why not be careful? I understand Skeens is there. I understand that you have an opportunity to make some noise when a division is not. There's a chance. I mean, we talked about it last week. There's a chance this division is won by less than 90 games. So would you push it? If there's if there's a chance the Pirates could add a shortstop that's got a great bat because they're doing well at the deadline and they can make a push to even get a wild card, or if this division is actually worse than the last wild card, then you know what I mean? You could make a push, sure. But I think you still have to do what's right for the player. And I think they're just going to be real careful with this one. And I think that's sometimes unfortunate, but I think that's what it is. So a couple guys saying 60-day, or at least IL. But yeah, I mean, I could see that. Bucko Mike says, like to see if Harrington can go five or throw 65 pitches. I think that's pretty good. Last question I have on Harrington. Does he pitch in Tampa Bay on next Monday? Not this Monday, but next Monday. Or does he pitch one of the games in Miami? I got to know. Let me know. My wallet may be impacted by that. If we think that's there. Dave, I think this is a great question. He's asking the rest of the chat, anyone think Harrington could be better than Jones was last year? Jones had a rough patch in there, but let's talk about 4.14 ERA. That's for a rookie getting his first taste of MLB. That's a pretty low ERA. He made 22 starts, one less than Skeens, despite being on the roster the entire season because of the IL. What did Harrington throw last year? That's a good question, too, because it depends on the innings and what he can do innings-wise, right? I'm going to look at what Jared Jones did in, let me show minors here. In 2023 total, between AA and AAA, Jared Jones threw 126 innings. Now, because of injuries, he only went 121, so they really didn't have to push that to see where he was at. Harrington in 2023 went 127 innings, and then this last year went 117. So Harrington's actually probably pretty primed to go up to 140, 150 this season, depending on the types of innings they are, obviously, and the quality of him being up there. But he could push it as far as 150 innings, probably. And you may get a break with maybe Bubba or Burrows or Ashcraft or any of these guys, Majinski, even if things work out. But you might get a break there. So, like, I could see him going at least into that, you know, 120, 130 range. Jared Jones was 6-8. So could he have a winning record maybe? I don't know. I've said as much that I believed Harrington has a higher ceiling than a lot of people say he does. Everybody likes to talk about the floor, and the floor is high. And yes, he doesn't have Skeens or Chandler stuff, but I think there's a shot he has Jones-level production. I really do. At least like a Jones or a Keller. I think Keller's better than some of his numbers show because of the bad streaks that he goes on. But like, I think he's there, man. I think he's there. Not maybe not this year, but as a whole. Miles, take the flight. We've talked about this before. I think on another pod, we were just in the chat. I want to get down to Tampa if he's starting that game. I really do. Melman says, I think Harrington might exceed all expectations. I love it. Mike says, Thomas Harrington is the X factor for this team. Aaron points out, completely different pitchers. Jones has plus stuff and Harrington has to hit his spots. Now, actually, I'll pause there. Jones has 100. Jones can throw it down the middle and still get by you, right? He can miss his spot and still be effective. Harrington cannot rely on velo, but his stuff is still very good. It's just not, the velo's not there. With velo, it's like you have it's almost like a cheat code in a way, and that's why these guys like it. Because I can pump one right down the middle at 97 to 100, and you may miss a pitch right down the middle, especially if you're throwing them off with something else. David Bednar does it all the time. When he throws that curveball in there, and then he throws the fastball in the same exact tunnel, you can't hit that. No matter where it's located, so long as it's over the plate, you can't hit it, especially if it's up. But he's gotten away with right down the middle before with 97, 98. And that's what these guys can do. I mean, Skeens did it just the other day. He threw low and away at like 98, right down the middle at 99, and then up and in, which, by the way, that kind of accuracy at 98, 99, it should be illegal. It's unbelievable. But Harrington does have good stuff. The slider is ridiculous. The fastball and the pinpoint location is very there. He just has to learn to set up major league hitters in order to get them to, you know, to go after the stuff or to paint corners or whatever. But he absolutely has stuff. And that's the one thing I think is missed there. But it's the velo, right? It's the velo that he doesn't have, and he has to work a lot harder for his outs, specifically his swings and misses. He has to work a lot harder. Matt says he doesn't rely on max effort to get batters out. Sherrod says we could have a mirror of Jones Skeens with 2025 Harrington Bubba. Maybe. I bet Harrington, you don't know how the season's going to go, right? Jared Jones came out in the season, ended up making one less start than Skeens. Bubba has some clear things to work on. But I think it's most important for the Pirates to keep him down until he's ready. So Bucko Mike says Harrington has the best off-speed stuff probably of anyone. It's so good. It's so good. Mailman, fastball moves. He can touch 95. You're right. He can get up there to 95. So it's not quite that top end stuff. When that's as hard as it's going, you know what I mean? It's 95 down the middle, a missed spot it could get hit. Now it depends on how far he's going to knock you off, right? So anyway, I'm real excited about Harrington if he is going to make it there. I don't like the spot being opened up by an injury, but let's get real. That's the nature of pitching in this game today, and it's not going to stop. And it's not a Pirates thing. It's all of it. So nobody's immune, but it's not that everybody will get hurt, but nobody's immune. And so you just don't plan for it, and it still sucks when it happens. You know what I mean? All right, let's talk a little bit about something that this team, as we only have one more game of spring left. Now, these numbers are mostly, they're without today's game. So I don't have today's game in here. I did run the numbers a little bit yesterday, finished them up today. But let's talk about runners in scoring position. Bucko Mike is going to be like, all right, let's do it. Doug Smith, who I haven't seen Doug Smith in here tonight, but he's been asking about the same thing. We're talking about, it looks like I need to make this window a little bigger than I usually do here, but we're talking about the new hitting coach. And so I've got some numbers here. I'm comparing last year to this year, and I've got a couple different conditions here, but let's look at the spring first, okay? I'm going to read off some numbers here. 489 events, okay? So these events are essentially runners in scoring position less than two outs. That's the way I did this. That, I think, was probably the biggest thing that this team was struggling with. With two outs, everybody struggles. Runners in scoring position, two outs. So I didn't want to go there. I want to see, are we putting the ball in play? What are we doing here? Runners in scoring position, less than two outs, 489 different opportunities, 82, maybe that's pitches, to be honest with you. Now that I think back about it, that might be pitches. So bear with me here if that feels wrong. You'll see the rest of the numbers. 82 balls in play, 37 strikeouts. This was last spring. That's 27% strikeout rate. Only 16 walks, which is an 11.7% walkout rate, which is actually pretty good. We know that they walked a lot with Andy Haynes. 237 batting average, 328 on base. 35.8% whiff rate. Runner on third, second or third, less than two outs, 35.8% whiff rate. 31.7% hard hit rate. And 3.7 barrels. So in the regular season, that turned into some of these 194 strikeouts to 63 walks. That's a 24.4% strikeout rate, drastically lower. We understand that's because that 27 is probably ballooned by some minor leaguers and stuff. 7.9 walk ratio, which actually went way down, probably because you're facing major league hitters instead of minor league or major league pitchers instead of minor league pitchers throwing a bunch of balls. But the average goes down 4 points to a 233. The on base goes down tremendously, down to a 291. A lot of strikeouts happen in that scenario alone. 24.4 doesn't quite show that, but it was there. Let me see here. 27% whiff rate, 37% hard hit rate, 8% barrels. So now let's go to this spring. So really the percentages are the only thing you need. We're going from a 24.4% in the regular season to an 18.9% strikeout rate, a 13.2% walk rate, which is higher than the others, a 295 average with runners in scoring position less than two outs, and a 377 on base. Now, I'm not going all the way there. This is still spring training, but those numbers are drastically better from one spring to the next. The whiff rate from 36% down to 27%. The hard hit rate actually went down a little bit, kind of to be expected, right? 31% to 27. And the barrels went up from 3% to 4%, or 4% to 5% if I round. So I did another thing, and maybe I can actually show these numbers to you if I make them a little bigger and share my screen here. So if you're on the video, I'll give you a little a peek of these numbers here. I can go a little bigger. So these three rows right here, and for the audio, it's just another regular season, spring and spring from the 2 years. But this is just the following players who were in both seasons: Bay, Bart, Cook, Cruz, Davis, Gonzalez, Hayes, IKF, Kutch, Palacios, Sawinski, Triolo, Alika, and York. So those are just those guys. Now, spring stats from last year will not include Cork, which is Cook and York together. Bart, IKF, because they weren't in spring with the Pirates last year. I think that's it. But if you see any other ones, it's those guys too. So you can see, and I'll read them off for the audio listeners, from spring 2024 to spring 2025, the strikeout rate went down about 26%, 27 to 20.8. The walk rate down 1%. The batting average up 195 points from a 194 to a 299. These are the similar hitters here. And the on-base percentage went from 297 to 385. The whiff percentage, 37 down to 28. The hard hit, like I said, when you're not striking out and you're putting bat to ball, which is what you should do in this scenario, your hard hit rate goes down because you do have some weak contact. But the barrels went up from 0% to 3.2. Matt says Cork would be godlike. Cook and York, that would be great, right? And then the regular season, 24.6% strikeout rate for these players last year. 7.9 walk, 249 average, 307 on base. These same guys are hitting 300 and 385 this spring. The whiff percentage is actually up. Where are we at here? Regular season. It's up 1% here. And there's some other numbers here that kind of favor the regular season last year, which I think makes sense, likely because you got guys like Bay, Palacios, Sawinski, who struggled, Alika. Some of these guys were not, they weren't contributing at the level that they are right now. So you kind of weed those out, plus regular season, right? These numbers here go up in the regular season, I think, a lot. And whiffs probably will a little bit. Oh, it doesn't really show that before. Spring to regular season, the whiffs went down. So I guess that's fair. What do you guys think here? I mean, what we're seeing right now is, and whether this is the hitting coach or just an overall, these guys are doing better this year because they're another year older. They're another year better. But the numbers show that runners in scoring position, a clear problem that this team had last year, is improved, is very much improved. And the regular season, from the spring to the regular season last year, got better. So in some of the numbers, right? The average went down a little bit, but you lowered the strikeouts a little bit. And you got to understand, like, even the average going down and the strikeouts going up, like, there are times you get out and it's productive. You got a guy on third with nobody out and you ground out to second, you scored a run. So, you know, there are opportunities like that that still happen. StatCast does not give you an RBI, right? They don't give you an RBI. So that I can't look and say, okay, how many RBIs did we have in this scenario? Or RBI run percentage. I wish we could look that up, right? And maybe someday when I get deep enough in here, I'll be able to look those sort of things up. What's the percentage of runs scored in those scenarios where we can break that down? Someday I'll bring that to you. I'm not there right now, but someday I will be able to bring that to you. Is this team better under a new hitting coach? Yeah. But I think that we all assumed that it's not necessarily the hitting coach that's coming, but the hitting coach that was going. In this scenario in particular, I think we all expected that to happen. And it looks like that's exactly what we're seeing happen. So, hey, we got 4 days of non-regular season baseball. Nope. We have 3 days. 4 days until we start. 3 days of non-regular season baseball. And then we're all at it. And these numbers count. And the abilities of these guys count. Like I said, 28 guys-ish, like, right, because what we're looking at. 28 guys on the roster. There's going to be some shakeups. It shouldn't be anything wild. Let's see if DJ Stewart cracks this roster. Let's see if Bay or Sawinski gets sent down. Let's see what pitchers are added and what pitchers are gone. My guess is Strzelecki might be on his way out. I think that we could seemingly say that the rest of them will probably stay on this team, or at least on the 40-man roster is what I mean. So I don't know. Really interesting. I don't know what to say about the team in general, right? What we're talking about is it's all taking shape. I'm not saying, well, guaranteed 88 wins. That's not what I'm saying right here. But we talk about our roster taking shape. And remember, 35 relievers last year, 35 different players got a chance to come in and pitch in relief. These eight are not the last eight. And let's hope this team can turn it on the regular season. Most teams will, and that's the thing. This team will, but so will other teams. Matt says Hunter Stratton, though, he could be optioned down. So he has options. He was added to the 40-man, but he could be optioned down, which would be good. I mean, he's been okay in some of his stints here. We'll see. Mike says Skeens, Heaney, Keller, Harrington, Falter should be the rotation set up for the season. I will say Falter, Harrington. Because if Harrington pitches in Tampa, I'm going to be hard-pressed not to go. We'll see. If anybody's going to be at the home opener, let me know. We'll be there. We've got our tickets. We've got everything set up. So we'll be at the home opener this year. Looking forward to it. We're about there, guys. We're about to real baseball. If you're a Pirates fan that doesn't care about the rest of the league, I can understand that. That little bit of, so what? I can understand that. But not me. I love baseball. And you know what? I think this Pirates team could be a lot of fun. See if they pull through on that. Thanks, guys, as always. Appreciate you in the chat. Appreciate everybody who gets an opportunity to listen to this and does. We'll check back in on opening day. I think after the game, we'll check back in on opening day. Thanks, guys. Let's go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to my dad and Uncle Jake on the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. Clear the deck, cannonball coming, and let's go, Bucks.
Who
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.